Now they say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Anyone here ever felt like that before? Hopefully not many of you have felt that way on a regular basis, because that saying's normally uttered when there's tension within the family. But overall, family is a very important concept, isn't it, for human beings? Perhaps even more important than what we realise. All of us are shaped by our experience of family. In most human societies, the family is the key social unit for the production and socialisation of children. And that's certainly the way that families are meant to function, according to the Bible. Our passage in Colossians 3, verses 20 and 21, is a good example of God's concern that families should function well. In these verses, the Apostle Paul has some brief instructions for children and fathers. In sum, it's children obey, and fathers don't make your kids angry. And it's interesting what Paul focuses on in these verses. His instructions are quite short, so we can take that whatever he says here must be something that's important. Out of all the things he could have said, he just focuses in on these things. So they must be important, and so therefore let's have a look at each of these in more detail today. First of all, what is the responsibility of children in a family? According to Paul in verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing in the Lord. Obedience. For those of you who are parents, how obedient are your children? On a scale from 0 to 10, with 10 being good, where would you place them? And for those of you who are children, how obedient are you to your parents? Notice how children are to obey their parents in everything, Paul says. And we need to realise here that God has established an authority structure between himself and humanity, between husband and wife, and between parents and their children. As children, we need to acknowledge and respect the authority structure that God has already established. And respect for one's parents in the Bible, it's obviously very important, but it's important for a reason. It's important because the key source for a person to learn about God is supposed to be their parents. Now, often it doesn't work that way, but if families are functioning well, then respect for one's parents leads to respect for God. The biblical teaching on the need for children to respect their parents, it doesn't occur in a vacuum. It occurs in the wider context of the need for respecting God and the authority structures that he has set up within human society. So for those of you here who are children, which I think is probably most of us, although for some of us perhaps our parents have passed away, we're being called upon here to obey our parents. But what does that mean? Particularly if I'm grown up or at least getting there. Well, to understand what this means, we need to define our terms. All of us are children of someone. So does this mean then that when I hit 50, I'm still supposed to be obeying my 75-year-old dad in everything? Is that what Paul means here? Well, a child should always respect his or her parents. But a godly parent will realise that as their child grows up, as their child becomes an adult, their child needs to be given more space to make their own decisions. This is actually signalled in the Bible, back in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 24. When describing how God gave Eve to Adam to be his wife, the Bible says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and join to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Notice there the idea of a man actually leaving his father and mother to join with his wife in marriage. The biblical pattern is basically the idea that unmarried children are under the authority of their parents. But once a child grows up and gets married, the child will ordinarily leave home to start a new family. And when that takes place, it's a natural point in time for the relationship between the parent and the child and the authority structure between them to undergo a slight modification. On being married, a girl is no longer under the authority of her parents. She now comes under the authority of her husband. And a boy, on being married, I think it's probably fair to say that he's still under the authority of his parents, but at the same time, his parents shouldn't be treating him as a child, as if he needs to be told every 5 minutes what to do. As an adult and the head of a new family unit, the boy is now a man and is therefore responsible before God for the physical and spiritual health of the members of the new family unit that has come into existence through his marriage. So the ideal is, at that point, he will have reached not just physical maturity, but also a spiritual maturity, sufficient enough that he doesn't need hands-on discipline from his parents anymore in the way that he needed it when he was young. You see, there's a natural transition point when the child grows up. So overall, when things are working well, obedience to our parents should be more explicit the younger we are. But as we get older and are married and establish our own family, then the obedience that we owe our parents should become more implicit. As we become adults, our obedience will be shown in the respect that we have for our parents and in how we follow what they've taught us about God, in how we care for them, and in how we listen to their advice. And here it's also important to note the words "in everything" that Paul uses in verse 20. Children are to obey their parents in everything, says Paul. And that's fairly strong language, isn't it? Sounds fairly absolute at that point, as if nothing is accepted. Obey your parents in everything. But here we need to keep in mind that Paul is addressing this command to Christian families, and his assumption is that Christian parents wouldn't be commanding their children to do what is wrong. If your parent commands you to do something that's wrong, then in that situation, a child needs to put God's word first and not obey their parent. For example, if your parent tells you to steal food from a shop or to go and set fire to the neighbour's house, obviously at that point, the child needs, as best as they can, to remind mum or dad that such an action is wrong. Now, granted, sure, sometimes it's difficult for children to be able to challenge their parents in such situations, but saying something like, Mum, sorry, but I don't think I can do that because God wouldn't want us to do that. Hopefully something just as simple as that might be all that needs to be said in that situation. Obviously, it's not easy for a child when growing up with parents who don't do the right thing. But where your parents are teaching and living out the gospel, then obeying them shouldn't be onerous. It should actually be a pleasant experience. And notice too how in verse 20, Paul gives us the motivation that we need for obeying our parents. He says, obeying our parents in everything is something that is pleasing in the Lord. God wants us to obey our parents as they lead us in the paths of righteousness. If our parents are doing a good job, then God wants us to learn from them and to put their teaching into practice in our lives. Which brings us then to parents. Although, did you notice which parent Paul addresses in verse 21? He talks about fathers, right? Why would he do that? Why doesn't he mention mothers? Does that mean that mothers aren't important? Well, no, but once again, keep in mind the authority structures that exist according to the biblical pattern. Fathers are the head of the household. More than anyone else within the family, they have the responsibility before God of leading and protecting the members of their family. And this should mean, therefore, that it's the father who naturally should be taking the lead in the disciplining of the children. And that is something that's definitely taught in the Bible. Actually, anyone know who does the most disciplining in the Bible? Many of you see discipline being meted out. Who's doing the disciplining? It's actually God. In the Bible, it's God who does most disciplining, but that makes sense. I think someone said, fathers, well, he's our heavenly father, right? He's our heavenly father, and he disciplines his children. But God aside, the person who does the most disciplining in the Bible, when you look at the word discipline, what it goes together with, is actually the person who is the father of children. A few examples. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Don't set your heart on putting him to death. So fathers, whether you're a father now or in the future, make sure that you discipline your children. Don't leave them to their own devices. Without teaching them the way of God, they will die. Now, I know there are some families where most of the discipline is left up to mum. Perhaps there are also situations where the mum doesn't trust the dad to discipline correctly. But according to the Bible, discipline should primarily be the job of the father. If the family is functioning well, and if the authority structures that God has established within society are being reflected in the way that that family functions. So fathers, discipline your children. But how the father exercises discipline is very important. And this is what Paul focuses on in verse 21 in Colossians chapter 3. Fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they lose heart. Now the word provoke there in verse 21 basically means don't rouse your children to anger. Discipline needs to be appropriate. It should never be over the top. And a good gauge of appropriate discipline is how your children react to it. If done properly, then your children will learn from the experience. They'll actually come to see your concern in disciplining them as an act of love. They'll know that you've disciplined them for their own good. But when it's too extreme or just angry violence rather than loving discipline, then your children will be moved to anger rather than love. If they see anger on your face, then probably they're going to reflect it themselves in how they respond. And the danger of that is that they'll lose heart. Paul says they might become disheartened or despondent. And if they're feeling that way, it's unlikely, if that keeps on going on, that they'll even bother trying to please you. If it's just so disheartening and dehumanizing, it's going to have a negative effect. So fathers need to discipline their children, but it always needs to be done primarily out of love. That's not to say that a parent can't feel angry when their child does something wrong. But even while angry, whose anger are you reflecting? Are you reflecting God's anger or your own? There can be anger, but at the same time as anger, there also needs to be love. So parents, keep in mind what the Apostle Paul is teaching us here today. Realize that ultimately it's God who is our model when it comes to parenting. One of the good things about the Bible is that we actually get to see parenting in action. We get to see God in action with his sons and daughters. We see him dealing with disobedient children all of the time. Just think about the people of Israel. In Deuteronomy 8:5, it says, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. Here we can see that there's an analogy between God's discipline and how a human father might discipline his children. God disciplines us like parents do their children. But parents are supposed to discipline their children the way that God disciplines his people. And ultimately, how does God discipline us? Well, ultimately, it's discipline out of love, isn't it? Hebrews 12:6, shows us this. It says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Please notice there that discipline is primarily a function of God's love for us because we are his children. And in a similar way, fathers, when you discipline your children, keep love in mind. Are you disciplining them because you love them? Is that what's motivating you right at that point? Don't discipline your kids merely out of frustration or anger. Discipline your kids primarily because you love them the way that God loves you. Discipline should encourage rather than discourage and dishearten. Now, in addition to not provoking your kids to anger, the Bible also mentions two other things that are important to keep in mind when disciplining children. Firstly, use the Word of God when disciplining your kids. Now, different families might have different kinds of rules, but ultimately your job as a parent is to bring your children up in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. Don't bring your kids up just to obey you, as if it's you that must be obeyed. Bring your kids up to obey God. If God has given you kids, then he's done so in order that you might teach them about him by modeling God to your kids in everything that you do and say. And when it comes to what you say, then make sure that God's word is part of the conversation that you're having with your children. In Psalm 94, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law." Notice that when God disciplines, he does so by teaching us from his law. He uses his word to teach us and to discipline us. So make sure, if you're a parent, that you model yourself on God at that point. Make sure that you use his word to teach your kids. Don't be like the typical parent who says, "Do it." And then when the kid asks, "Why?" you just say, "Because I told you so." Perhaps some of us are guilty of saying that before. It's easy to say in a stressful situation, but the Bible encourages us to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, to quote from Ephesians 6:4. So every instance of discipline, it's a gospel opportunity. So when your kids ask why, tell them about God. Tell them about what Jesus has done for us and how he expects us to live. Ultimately, we're to obey our parents because of who God is and how he's made us. So use those opportunities of discipline as an opportunity to teach your children about God. And secondly, when disciplining your children, remember to give reasons. Motivation and positive encouragement are very important. Going back to our previous example, when you say "do it" and the kid asks why, or some parents repeat right at that point, "just do it. Why should I do it? Well, just do it because I'm telling you to." Well, God never says "just do it." The Bible gives us lots of reasons as to why we should obey him. A classic example of this kind of method of instruction can be seen in the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. In those chapters, we hear the voice of a father speaking to his sons, instructing them in wisdom and calling on them to follow God's way of life, not the world's way of death. But he doesn't just say, "do it," or "do it now, because I told you so." How does he do it? What does he say to his children? Well, we can listen to how he instructs them. In Proverbs 3, just a few examples here. "My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. My son, don't despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his correction, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father does the son in whom he delights." Can you see how Solomon there in Proverbs instructs his sons? He's saying, children, obey me and obey the Lord. Listen and pay attention, because we love you and we want what's best for you. Nothing can beat the Lord's way, because that's the way of life and peace and joy. He's motivating his sons. He's giving them reasons to obey and to follow the way of life. So overall then, when it comes to children and fathers, Paul's teaching is, children, obey, and fathers, discipline your kids carefully. But you might be thinking, what about mothers? Why doesn't Paul mention mothers here? Are mums not supposed to be involved in the task of disciplining the kids? Well, I think if you'd ask the Apostle Paul that, he'd say, well, no. Mums are definitely to be involved in teaching and disciplining their children. But the Bible suggests that fathers are the ones who set the tone. Fathers are the ones who are supposed to protect the family and to keep things under control and heading in the right spiritual direction. When we look briefly at what mums do in the Bible, well, it's interesting the picture that we get. But it fits in with the general pattern that women are more focused on the home than men are. Because most women have been created with the ability of carrying and caring for babies, we see mums in the Bible being involved in giving birth to children and in feeding their children, taking care of them, comforting their children, and treating them with compassion. So mums, look after your kids. Dads, discipline your kids out of love. And kids, obey your parents as they help you in the important task of getting to know God better and in obeying him. Overall, God wants our families to function well. And to do that, we need God's word to be at the center of our family life. So learn from God's word and look at how God himself as a parent deals with his children. There's a lot of beneficial teaching in the scriptures for us in our family life.